What up, y'all? It's your boy Kev on stage. This is Put You On with our esteemed guest, fashion designer, owner, curator of You Matter, the one and only Demetrius Harmon, the artist formerly known as Meech on Mars.
Oh, man.
An amazing, talented person. We're going to get into You Matter. Welcome to the show, Demetrius Harmon. Now, if you're not like me and you haven't lived the majority of your life on social media, you might not know this.
Do I look at you the whole time or do I look at the camera?
You can look at me. Okay. If you want to speak directly to the people, you can look at that camera, but you can just talk to me.
Okay.
We're just having fun.
No, it's okay. Friend. I just wanted to know.
Just staring
into
my eyes.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. How old are you, real quick, Meech?
25.
Okay. So this is very weird.
Why is it weird?
At the young age of 25, you are an OG of social media. You were one of the first super popping black viners. So you must have been...
I was like...
15, 16?
Yeah, I was doing it in high school.
You were a child.
Yeah.
You were my son's... You were younger than my
you
son.
You met me when I was like 19.
Ah! Ah!
Because I moved here when I was 18. So you met me when I was 19.
You were 19?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Like, I think when we did the...
Great Taste?
Great Taste, I was 19. Because I also had, that was the first time, that was the first You Matter hoodie that I made, that I wore in the episode. And so, yeah, I was like 19.
Dang.
I'm aging you up.
You really are. You could literally be my child. Almost.
I like to think of myself as a bonus.
Dang. Pull the mic up a little bit, Meech, or speak. There we go. Dang. Dang. So you've had like a 10-year career already, almost.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because I started doing YouTube when I was 14, so it's been 11 years.
So you're young old when it comes to that.
Yeah.
You've had like, like, bro, you ain't in the game as much as me, but you're just 15 years younger.
Yeah. What?
I'm 40.
You're 40, okay.
Yeah.
Quick math.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back.
You look 40. You don't give 40.
Thanks. The bald head don't give.
But you've been bald this whole time.
I've been bald a minute.
Yeah, you've been bald this whole time. If it was like a progression of you getting balder, it'd be like one of them Bosley commercials. But in reverse.
I just let it go. I let it go one day and I was done. So let's go back to Vine, right? What I imagine, like most people at that time, you was just popping. Like you was just making videos and having fun, right? When did you know, like, hold on a second, my videos are doing more than most videos, because you're like in the top 20 creators, period, of Vine. When did it start to feel different for you?
When I was in the summer after junior year of high school.
Okay.
But senior year is where it was like, oh, okay, this is a thing.
Was it a certain video or was it like a wave?
I want to say it was like a wave of like consistency. So it would be like one video may get like a million views. And like on Vine, that's a lot. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Because you could see your views up top, and it just slowly
loops.
Scrolls. Yeah, you know, you see how many loops you got.
Yep.
So I think the video that I made, because my best friend was like doing very well on Vine.
Who's your best friend?
Dope Island.
Angelo. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I never saw him on Vine as much.
He inspired me to go harder on Vine.
Oh really?
Because like I want to say junior year of high school before the summer. It's this thing called rankzoo.com. You could see how many you gained a day. And he was getting like 20,000 followers a day. And I was like, no, I got to go harder. Like, I mean, like every day he dropping like two videos, they getting like 10 million loops a day. And I was like, this is crazy. So I had just started trying to make a video every day. Like, regardless of what the idea was and how like stupid it may seem. And then they started like latching on. And then senior year, I just knew I wasn't going to college.
Because of Vine.
Well, I didn't like school.
Oh, okay.
I was doing horrible in school.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was just like I'd be up because I have insomnia. I'd be up at night and go to school, and they didn't make it no better because I had a job. I was working at Little Caesars, and if you had a job, you could leave school 2 hours early.
Oh, word.
So I would go to school from like 7 to 11 a.m. and leave.
Wait, why could you just leave early?
Because
it's like you got real life already.
Yeah, so you could have an elective.
Oh, okay.
So my elective took up my last 2 hours because I only have 4 core classes. So I knock all my 4 classes out, and then lunch would start. But why would I go to lunch if I'm not coming back to a class? So I just leave at 11 and then film like a YouTube video.
Wow.
And then I go to work at like 4 o'clock.
Dang. You had a whole life.
Yeah.
16. You had two jobs, basically.
Yeah.
Because creating content,
it's not easy at all.
Especially at Vine at that time. I don't know if y'all ever created Vines. At the time when you were doing it, you had to shoot and edit inside of Vine.
Yeah.
And it was, there was no app outside at the very beginning. You had to, like, if you messed up, you have to delete it.
Yeah.
Like, you was really doing that and then going to work.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, it wasn't that hard. Like, since I had been on Vine since the first year it came out, you kind of knew what you needed to do and, like, how to do the cut scenes and stuff like that. But there definitely was, like, third-party apps that you could download and pay, like,
yeah, eventually, I remember you, there was, like, stuff you could do. But the early?
No, early was disgusting.
It was...
Because if you get a take right, but you hear like a go at the beginning, it's like,
yeah,
I just got to leave it in there. I don't know.
It's too much.
But it changed. I think they, I think by the time, like I said, when it started popping, like when I was gaining a lot of followers and gaining a lot of traction, was like, it was the last year of Vine. Like,
okay.
Because Vine got deleted when I graduated from high school.
So wait, Vine was only what? Was it only like 3 or 4 years?
Yeah. Because it came out when I was in 9th grade and it got deleted when I graduated.
Dang!
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that short a time. I felt like it was longer than that.
No, it was very short-lived. It just...
It just was so social. Like, some people who were Viners are still... Logan Paul, the Paul brothers, Katie Don I found on Vine, King Batch started on Vine. I mean, like, a lot of people, right? You as well. So what was that like? Were you getting brand deals and stuff at that time?
No, I said nigga too much. Not for real. That's still my problem to this day, dog. Yeah, they be like, love the content. The word, I don't know. And you know how, like, and the thing is, to get, like, branded deals for a 6-second video, like, it's hard to convince somebody that they should pay you. It's disgusting. It, like, there's no, like, it's nothing I could do in that 6 seconds to convince somebody to purchase
Yeah. So were you getting, was it YouTube paying you at the time, or were you just doing it for the love then?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely for the love. It was definitely for the love. YouTube was paying me, but it was like YouTube checks.
Yeah.
So it wasn't nothing that was like changing my life, but there definitely was that. It was a company called Collab.
Yep, I remember them.
People that would do Vine compilations.
Yep.
So then they basically would just take the revenue that those people were making from the Vine compilations
and give it to you and split
claim it. My property, yeah, and then give it to us. So that's,
was that good money?
Yes.
Really?
It was great money.
It was great money.
It was great. Well, I remember one time I saw with them, bro. Because I didn't even think about none of that stuff.
I'm just making
these... I'm not... Because there was no way to monetize on Vine.
Right.
So they like, yeah, we monetize your content. And then we'll take anybody who has your videos involved. Mm-hmm. These are like 30-minute videos with like 2 million views.
Sheesh.
And it would be like a bunch of them, you know what I'm saying? And I remember the first check was straight. I'm a senior in high school, right?
Right.
I'm working at Little Caesars. I'm working at Little Caesars and I hate working at Little Caesars. I'm doing this, like the board outside.
Oh, that's what you were doing?
Yeah, I was cooking inside too, but like if the
You were spinning?
Yeah.
You were coming
inside. It wasn't crazy effort. Like it was like, hey guys, hot and ready. But it was, you know what I mean?
You were one of those people who was like, this is my craft.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
No.
No, not at all. But it definitely was embarrassing because it was like 2 minutes away from my high school.
Oh.
And this is by the time, like I never talked about what I did on social media, but. Because I'm a senior now, because it was like blowing up,
People
in school now know of me without me ever having spoken to them because of Vine.
Dang.
And so that collab check came in, changed my life, dog.
Did you throw the sign down?
Nah, they fired me.
Why?
The manager didn't like me. He said I didn't give enough effort. But it was like, nigga, bro, we make pizzas. What do you want from me? Like, he wanted me to just be like enthused. And it's like, bro, the thing is, I'm doing my job. Like, you don't know what a rush looks like until you are in the middle of Dearborn, Michigan during Ramadan.
Yeah.
Making a million vegetarian pizzas. And we got halal pepperoni. So it's just both burners on. I'm cutting pizzas. I'm making the pizzas. I'm building the boxes. And I'm taking orders. There's nothing else you can... I have nothing else to give you. My enthusiasm is gone. Because we just cleaned out all the utensils. You know, Ramadan starts at sundown.
Yeah.
We're about to close.
Right.
And you just, doo-doo. It's like 15 orders of pizza per family. It was disgusting.
This is not like, out of context saying, you know, we had halal pepperoni. It's funny. In the context of the story, it makes perfect sense. But out of context, I never thought I'd hear you say, you know, we had halal pepperoni. They're hitting us up. And these are $5 hot and ready.
Yeah.
We got halal pepperoni. They're going crazy at 6
And the problem is, it's like, what people don't understand about Little Caesars, which is why I hated working there, it's like a fast food pizza place.
Yeah.
That's how people treat it. They be like, oh, yeah, what we run out of hot and ready, we got to make more. Right. And a pizza doesn't get made in fucking 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, then we got to mix, like, because they make, like, they prep them. It'd be like 40 in, like, a little stack.
Yeah.
And then they'll already have, like, probably, like, 10, 15, depending on the hour.
Yeah.
And then they'll throw 20 hot and readies in. But then we get, like, a custom order where we need, like, 10 vegetarian pizzas. We got to wait till the hot readies get out the way.
You got
to
bake them, too.
Exactly. So we got to bake them. Then certain people come in well done. It's just too much.
You can order a pizza well done?
Yeah. What you mean?
I didn't know you had a choice at Little Caesars. It's $5. Whatever I hand you, you take.
See, that's the problem. People think that's the only thing we got. So we just be running out of pizzas. And we don't got hot and ready. It's like they turn into like Black Friday customers. They just get very upset. No, it's disgusting.
You're at Little Caesars getting abused by these people, man.
You know how you go to Little, like if you went to McDonald's, you're like, can I get some fries? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we ain't got any fries right now. Mm-hmm. Fuck you mean you ain't got fries? It's your whole thing. So go to Archer's. You go to Little Caesars and they ain't got hot and ready. It's like, fuck you mean you don't got hot and ready? It's hot and ready. Pizza. You know what I mean? So it's...
I see the commercial, man. It's what the man said. $5 hot and ready pizza. Here go the five. Your part is the hot and ready and the pizza. People be pissed when they're hungry, too.
Yeah. I get it.
The fact that you have to go to Little Caesars, it's not your first choice.
Yeah.
So if I go to Little Caesars not ready, now I'm pissed. All I got is the five, man. Come on.
Bro, that's the thing, dog. Like, it is crazy. We got crazy bread. I don't like the smell of Parmesan. I don't know if you know Crazy Bread has Parmesan.
Yeah, I do.
But it's in this big ass bucket. And whenever you like run out on a shaker, you gotta dip your whole hand in the bucket. So I just go home in my 2003 Honda Accord in an orange t-shirt with a Little Caesars man on it, smelling like Parmesan for the whole day. And it just wasn't cutting it, dog. Little Caesars is a hellhole. I love Little Caesars. If I could own a Little Caesars, I would.
Really?
But I'd never work in one again. Oh my god, that's Little the capitalist.
It's bigger. Isn't the Pistons play in Little Caesars Arena now?
Yeah, Little Caesars is from Detroit though.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Little Caesars was gone for like 11 years.
It was not. It was going out here.
Oh, it never left Detroit?
That shit got us through the
the recession.
The recession. Oh, yeah, it was Little Caesars and bootleg movies, and that shit got us through.
Little Caesars held us down.
Bro, I swear to God. $5? And it never changed? It's like $6 now.
Yeah,
fine enough. Do what you need to do. You've paid your dues.
When I used to be a youth pastor, Little Caesars was the only thing them kids ate.
Yeah.
$20 buys a lot of pizza.
It does.
Who cares if it's good,
bro? It's like 40 slices.
Bruh.
And it's going to be good, though.
Yes, because when you didn't pay for it,
yeah.
you're 15, shut up. Eat this halal pepperoni. So you blow up on Vine. I don't even know the trajectory, because I feel like after Vine, I feel like I saw you the most on Twitter.
Yeah.
You and Dope Island, I mean, you have some legendary skits.
Thank you.
I mean... You and him as God and Moses. I mean, just Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Just and the funny thing was, like, the production value was non-existent.
The production value was shit.
But the videos were so funny, it didn't matter. Your funniness. I always tell people. A lot of times, people think, oh, I need this right camera, the Red, the Ari. If you are funny, you can have low quality. If you're not funny, it doesn't matter if Steven Spielberg shoots your video. You're not funny. People will deal with a lot if the funniness is worth it.
Yeah.
And you and his videos were worth it. So tell me what it was like to pop again. And you guys were just trending and trending and trending. I mean, like, what was that like at that time? Because you were very young still and going crazy.
Yeah, I couldn't drink alcohol. Like when like the Adam and Eve video came out, we were like 20.
Man.
But
it's very hard to hear. I wasn't understanding how old you were in time. I just don't. You are much closer to my children's age than mine. You are closer to my son's age than you are to my age.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. How did you think I was 30?
I don't know, Beach. I don't know. Let's not focus on it. It's a big sore spot for me. My son is driving. Tell me about how you felt when you're blowing up again on another platform.
It felt good. I mean, it didn't really, like, I want to say when I first moved here to LA, that was right when Vine got deleted. Like, it got deleted that summer.
Okay.
So then I moved here in November. And I was just living here for a year and not really knowing what to do. I was in acting class. Mm. I really enjoy acting class, but it was just like, I was living with five other people, so it was hard to, like, have my scene partner come over and practice and have, yep, some type of quiet space. So I kind of gave up on that. I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I didn't want to go to college.
Yep.
And so I just came out here. And then I told Angelo, I'm like, if you move out here, let's get together, get an apartment together. We can do that.
Yeah.
And I had, I had already been doing YouTube still, like, more full-time because Vine was gone. But I'm like, we should make a YouTube channel together because we'd been best friends since eighth grade.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But he went to a completely different school than me.
Got it.
So we didn't see each other on the weekdays. So our Vines were never together.
Got it.
Like, actual skits we made online were never together. Like, we posted a video of us, like, dancing to music or something like that. That was just because we hung out on the weekend.
Okay.
But when we finally got to see each other, we would hang out. And so I'm like, we could live together, we could make a YouTube channel, and just, at the minimum, pay our rent, mm-hmm, and at most, do whatever else we, right, want to do. And I think, like, the first video we made was just about, like, fish poop. And it was like, I had, because he still lived in Michigan,
okay,
at the time. So I had went, we filmed it at my mom's house, and it was just like a fish trying to flirt with a girl, and he, like, poops. And, you know, like, the poop floats, yeah, up. Yeah. And it's just like, it goes into that. And that was like the first video we had did together. And it did really well. And then we finally moved in together. And it didn't feel like anything, honestly. It just, mm, felt like I was making stuff with my best friend. And then, like, you, of course, see where it's going. So you're trying to keep that momentum. But it really was just as easy as that. Like, I typically would just have an idea,
mm-hmm,
and be like, Angelo, like, I think we should make a video about Goldilocks and Three Bears.
Yeah.
And we would have no, like,
no script.
No, everything was improvised. Yeah.
I figured that.
That's how we talk to each other.
That's crazy.
But, like, the Goldilocks video, I think the only thing, like, we always have how we wanted to end or, like, specific parts. So I'm like, if it was Adam and Eve video, I'm like, I think it'd be funny if, like, Forbidden was written on an apple. You know what I mean? Like, that's stuff, yeah, we, yeah, have to prepare.
Yeah, yeah.
But other,
yeah,
than that, it'd just be, he'd start the camera, he'd start talking, and now I'm just reacting to what he's saying as Adam, dang, or he's Eve.
That's, so y'all, that, I mean, the chemistry makes more sense now, mm-hmm, but, like, the fact that y'all didn't prep the lines, mm-hmm, like, y'all just vibing, and it's, like, that funny. No writers, no Hollywood people, like, like, that's a really insane talent for both of y'all. And then also insane chemistry.
Yeah, yeah, we're just best friends. That's how we talk. That's, yeah, that's actually how we naturally communicate with each other.
Really?
And I think that's what made us start doing skits. Like, why we started doing it in the way that we do it is, like, our level of, like, our comedic sense is the same. So whenever me and him talk and find something funny, we just build on it, build on it, and build on it. Like, he'll say a joke, I'll say a joke to build on that joke, and then he'll continues to do that. And I think usually when we film, it would be like, whoever starts it, it's kind of like, well, it's kind of like improvising on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, if I say we're mowing the lawn, now you got to ride with me. And at any point, yes, you could take this a whole different direction.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And so he'd be saying something, and I'll react to what he's saying and just taking what he's giving me. And we'll just go with that scene until we break character. And as soon as we break character, like, what we usually do when we break character, because Angelo edited all the videos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they were like, I can't edit chaotic how he does. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I can't edit chaotic.
Bro, because he, like, it's so much happening.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the secret, like, recipe to, like, of course, like, the footage is funny.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, I thought the footage was funny, but it'd be like, he's editing and he, like, oh, we need a voiceover in the background here. Mm. Very distant. Like, meet you, go to the back room. I'm going to press record at the front door and just yell.
Dang.
And so, like, just little stuff like that, like ad lib. Like, Angelo makes music, so it's like,
yeah, I thought I saw he's like a rapper too.
Yeah, yeah. So
now,
he,
well,
like, he already knows how to think about how it should, how the sound should fill up the space.
Got it. Did he move back to Detroit too?
No, he lives here.
Oh, he stayed here. He never went back with you.
He went back before I went back, and then when I went back, he went back here.
Oh, really?
Very stupid. It made me mad. Like the year he lived there for a year, and then when I decided I was moving back, he was like, "Yeah, I'm going back to LA." I was like, all right.
So let's talk about You Matter. Okay, you guys have probably seen me wear this specific hoodie and plenty of You Matter stuff. Let me just say it like this. I want to take a quick break from the show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, EarnIn. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work, and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Boy, I remember when me and Melissa was young and them babies needed formula or a tire blew out. I ain't have no money saved. I ain't have no room on my credit card. If I could just access the little paycheck that I had, it would have saved my life. I ain't had no parents to ask. So we went without. I had to walk. I didn't have four tires. I had to drive on three. That don't have to happen to you. Make EarnIn a part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download EarnIn today. It's spelled EARNIN in the Google Play or Apple Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type "saw this" under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Again, "saw this" under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. And now back to the show.
You gonna say it, say it.
I'm gonna say it. You fill me with insane jealousy.
What?
Yes. Okay. When it comes to You Matter.
Okay.
You Matter to me is like God is dope, Nike just do it. You have created something that is, you get it immediately, but what you specifically do well, and I'm very curious how you do it, you have these drops that are themed, that are like, the university was a great one, You Matter Racing was another great one. You had this marketing email that explained the pre-order process. Mm-hmm. I stopped doing pre-orders because I get frustrated explaining it's how it works. And people just
ignore it.
Ignore it. And also, I think Amazon hurts
100%.
Hurts us because 100%. You are used to getting things within a day or two, even mm-hmm. if you don't realize it. You're just used to order now, and that thing comes like usually within 7 days almost, but Amazon like 2 days. So it conditioned most people to expect it in that amount of time, but at small businesses cannot operate at that speed. So pre-orders taking 3 or 4 weeks or a month, they're just like, you've stolen my money now. Like, I can sometimes do it with my audience, but it's so rare. I don't even do it. And it's a better business model.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I can't afford to have a whole bunch of inventory. Dead shirts.
Yeah,
right? Like, I wasted so much money on a drop because I was done with pre-orders. You don't know how much I wish I could have pre-ordered that. Because if you weren't going to buy none, then at least I didn't have to order none. But I ordered in excess because I'm like, yeah, this is going to change my family's life. Yes.
That's how I'd be sounding on FanDuel.
In the sense of, you are going to lose a lot of money and the way you do this is going to change. Forget me. Where did You Matter come from? Because I imagine it's a big part of your business now.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the idea for it? Then I'll ask more questions after you answer this one.
Well, it's a long-winded story. You want a long-winded story or you want like...
I want the story. This is your story to tell. I would love the version you would want to tell.
So I'm the youngest child of 3 older brothers.
Okay.
The one that's closest in age to me, besides my newest young brother, is 7 years older than me.
Okay.
So you can imagine when they're in like high school and like when they're becoming themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still in like second, first grade.
Yes, because you're a child.
Yeah, so they don't want to hang out with me, things like that.
Yeah.
Versus before when I was a kid and they were closer in my age, we play video games, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I had a lot, I went from being like very, like a lot of people around the house always to like it just being me
okay.
and like my parents. And I would just start being on like online, and my friend showed me this. It's like online video game called Naruto Arena.
Okay.
And they had a forum, and people were, that's where I got introduced to like graphic designing, because you know when people make like signatures that are like images, someone's like, oh, I use Photoshop to do this, yada yada. Mm-hmm. I'm very young, but I pirated Photoshop.
That's why they make you subscribe now.
Yeah.
Because everybody was pirating. Because it was like $500. Right. Niggas ain't got it, man. I'm selling pizza for a living.
And then they update, drop a new one. I'm like, what are we doing? But I taught myself how to Photoshop when I was like really young. And then when I was in like 6th or 7th grade, I still was like at Photoshopping. You know what I mean? And I was a pretty like quiet, reserved kid. Like I used to want to be like an author of like mangas. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
And so I didn't make a lot of friends through like being social. I made a lot of friends from like being a kid on Facebook that'll like design your profile picture.
Got it. Okay.
So through like me doing that work on Photoshop and then posting on Facebook, I like got in this Facebook group for graphic designers, and I always try and figure out a way to like monetize graphic designing. And I think that might just be like from me being like coming from the parents I come from, like always looking for a way to like hustle.
Yep.
You know what I mean? My mom used to go to like Canal Street and get like the Michael Jordan jerseys and sell them in our basement. You know what I mean? And flip them like that. So I always just had that in my mind. And this dude in there had a clothing brand. And he was using one of those sites where you upload design, send people to it, you get your commission off of it, and they handle everything else. So that's where I got introduced to like using, to where creating clothing was a medium I would use to express anything I wanted to like say.
Okay.
So I was doing that in like 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, all the way through like to now.
Yeah.
That's where I got my start with clothing. And I've been someone that struggles with depression and like mental health issues, whether that's like anxiety or insomnia, since maybe I was in 6th grade.
Okay.
And so I never felt like that was a safe place. I never felt like that was a thing I could talk about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because your world is as limited as the walls that you're in. So that's like my home.
Mm-hmm.
And back then it wasn't like you talk about stuff like that. You know what I mean? And so I escaped towards like Tumblr, and I would like write my poems and post my poems on Tumblr, and like share very raw feelings. Same time, Vine is working. So like I'm being loved on for like a specific part of me, which is like the comedy that's coming from pain.
Yep.
And I just got used to showing that side, so I stopped doing all that together. You know, but Tumblr's a bit underground versus like Facebook or Instagram and things like that. So it never really hit the masses until I want to say like maybe 11th grade. I had said something, but I still have a little bit of followers, and I had stopped dead in my tracks when I mentioned something about my mental health, because someone in school was like, and what's going on? Like, what you tweet? Like, what you tweet that? You want to kill yourself? And I couldn't deal with it in real life. It was easier for me to post on social media. Strangers might give me, regardless how strangers respond, it's strangers.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone I can see every day in school to know something like that about me, I was scared.
Yeah, I get
so
it.
So I, like, backed away from it for a while. And I was just struggling a lot 12th grade year, because I knew I did horrible on SAT.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wasn't going to college. I didn't apply to any college at any point. And then there's a lot of pressure too, because you know, like people around me are like, you gonna make 6-second videos for the rest of your life? Or like,
dang.
You know what I mean? My dad, like, what's your plan? I'm like, I don't have a plan.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I went back to going to clothing a little bit after I had, like, I always used to write, like in my journal, or like, write poetry. Like, I love writing things down to the point where I had a chalkboard wall.
Oh, really?
Like, I made my parents give me a chalkboard wall. So I was writing stuff down, but I had like a post-it, and I was just writing down like affirmations for myself, but I kept ending it with like matters. So like if you look at the first You Matter hoodie I did, it's like your emotions, your mental health, like things like that are on this bicep, because those are the things that like I was relating to. It was like my creativity means something. You know what I mean? And then like when I finally looked back at it, after I was done with that moment, like after I like was a little bit okay, like when I found those sticky notes, I'm like, oh, this like encompasses me.
Yeah.
Like it's not just the funny, you're not just the funny part of me, not just the sad part of me, like the whole being that I am means something to this world. So then that's where You Matter came from.
That's beautiful. That's amazing. So let me understand this, because I feel like I'm picking this up. Do you actually design these?
Most of them, yeah. If I need like help, I have like friends that do graphic design, but they're all like typography, so it's pretty easy for me to do. And if not, I'll like the trucker stuff, like I drew that down like how I wanted to look, and then sent to a friend and he did it. Or like the racing, like the same thing, I drew it down and friend turned it into like a graphic, and we turned it into a tech pack, and then it gets produced. But most stuff, yeah.
Wow. I knew you were talented. I knew, but I didn't know you were the actual designer for a lot of these.
Now, I like doing the marketing more though.
Let me tell you. And listen, one thing I'm really good at is marketing, mm-hmm. right? It's probably one of my better skills, more than being funny or many other things. I can sell you on something. The You Matter marketing, you get it. It's smart, it's fun, it's young. You spread the gamut of people with looks. You've got disability. You really went to college for the You Matter University, probably my favorite campaign. Mine too. That was just, I was just filled with rage, like pride, jealousy, and rage. Because I was like, I can't do this as well. And it was around the time I was sucking so bad at merch. But where do you think that marketing thing came from? Because I've seen athletes, actors, NBA, I mean, I've seen everybody rocking You Matter stuff. Like, it connects to a lot of people, and that all started in your mind. Like, where do you think that innate marketing skill, like, obviously didn't go to college for it. Like, where did it come from?
I don't know. I think I'm just genuine. I think that's really all it is. And, like, I don't try to, like, if ever I release something that's not, like, You Matter started because of me. It started mm-hmm. from my story.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be the poster child for this. But, like, I know, okay, someone might be out there and they might not feel like anyone else understands what they're going through in relation to their depression.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I did You Matter University, I'm like, bro, I didn't go to college. And, like, I'm speaking at these schools and I don't get to say, oh, I'm coming from my alma mater. Like, I have no home or foundation.
Got it.
So the first thought I have of that is, like, well, this is what I decided to do with my time instead of going to college. Like, okay. You Matter could be my university.
Oh, yes.
And then from there, it just went to that. You know what I mean? But I always imagined, like, what would school look like if I, like, I never got to go to, like, these parties. I never, like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, was at a cafe on campus. Like, yeah. I don't have any of those experiences. So the first time we introduced You Matter University, it was very important to me to, like, paint the picture. Like, I believe a lot in, like, world building.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, like, the product is the product. You don't have to buy the product.
Yeah.
But I want you to at least see why this product even made it here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, in front of you, what does this represent for me?
Oh, I'm still in all this. Oh, this is great. Keep going.
it's just a matter of, like, it come from a real place. So even, like, the racing, too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when we were shooting it was, like, a lot of old school Ferraris and things like that. And I was telling the team on board that day, I'm like, yeah, like, I like this, but I'm going to go talk to my doctor. My doctor mm-hmm. is a car collector. I'm going to talk to my doctor, and that's who I want to be the face of this.
Actual doctor?
Yeah, my actual doctor, Dr. William Preschill. Like, he collects old school cars, so, like, the 60s Corvettes.
Wow.
And, like, has awards all over his office since I've been a child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the reason why I did You Matter Racing is just because of the Motor City.
Yeah.
So it means something to me. So I'm like, I want this very perfectly articulated throughout the collection. And it could be through words. It could be through the photos. It could be through the product. I know that, like, there's multiple ways to communicate something. But I think a consumer or anyone viewing something just appreciates when something is, like, honest.
You remind me of, like, Jerry Lorenzo. You familiar with him?
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Lorenzo. Rest in peace, Virgil Abloh, the dude who does Kith, Ronnie Feig.
Yeah, I never know how to say it.
Yeah, me neither. But you remind me of them.
Why so?
The way you see your company, your brand, the attention to detail you have for, like, when you made the hoodie with the satin cloth, mm-hmm. right? You're like, I got black women. You want to protect your hair? You can put it on. Like, your attention to detail, the quality of stuff too. Like, listen, we all start from somewhere. A lot of us start off with Gildan.
Gildan
unhooked a lot of us up.
Gildan, right? Little Caesars.
Gildan Little Caesars.
Gildan got us through the recession, I tell
Gildan
you.
Gildan done put us through. And also, Gildan has more quality. I didn't realize they got some iron stuff too. And you can white label some Gildan. Take that tag off, put your tag on. Niggas won't know it's Gildan unless you're in the business, right? But you have that say, I can see you having that same level of success. Like the Ronnie Fieg dude just did a collab with the New York Giants. Mm. And I'm like, I can see, because you're authentic, I can see a Detroit collab with the Lions or Little Caesars or something like that. Or I can just see your brand getting that big. Do you feel like, because you comedically act, you do this, you cook as well? Like, I want to get to that too. Do you have like a pull towards one or the other? Or do you just feel like, okay, I'm going to express myself this way and then I'm going to express myself that way? You know what I'm saying?
I think like right now it's just a matter of like figuring out what is the best way to like honestly portray myself.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like what you matter, I've been working to continue to separate it from me just so that like it can exist on its own too.
Okay.
But I want like the ethos behind it to always be like things that are like that I feel deeply about.
Got
you
it.
Know what I mean?
A
big thing is always like giving back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Regardless of what it's about. You know what I mean? Regardless if it's directly to, like, we donate to organizations, it's very important to me to also donate directly to individuals.
Yep. Is that where the scholarship from came from?
Yeah. The scholarship came from that, but we had the Black Business Grant during Black History Month. And I was like, oh, we could probably keep this going.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I think I've done a year of two scholarships before. But the pool is definitely like, I feel like I stopped being like in the social media limelight for a little while. And like now I'm not like afraid to post anymore.
Yeah. I want to talk about that too, right? Because I follow you and I'm a fan, I feel like anytime you get attacked, right? You, the person, or me. And this happened also with Lizzo. This person put this very clearly. You have your fans, people who support you, and they will give you the benefit of the doubt. They want to listen. They have people who are on the side, and like how you respond, they're going to decide they're going to continue to support you or they're not. And you have people who never liked you, and they're going to capitalize on this moment, and they're just going to be like, this nigga finally did something. So early in the You Matter thing, and let me know how much you're comfortable talking with this. If you're not, we can
I'm open about everything.
Okay. Early in the You Matter history.
I was hoping you wasn't uncomfortable with me bringing it up.
No. I think it's part of your story, right? You used to do this thing like, if you've ever hurt yourself or harmed yourself, like, let me know, basically, and I'll either give you a discount or I'll give you a free hoodie because I've been there. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, my God. Like, that's, I love that. You know, that's smart. Not smart, but like, that's genuine. That's what I felt. Like, it was genuine. If you're struggling and you don't have the money, because the hoodies were like $80, right? $60. People used to get on you so tough about that.
Yeah, they're 80 now. It was $60.
Yeah, $60 at that time. People would be like, you are robbing me. Like, bro, this is a product that you can choose to buy or not. Why are you so mad? I mean, you don't have to buy this. People would be so livid. So you would do that, right? Mm. And you did it a lot.
Yeah,
I feel like you've done it a long time.
I used to do it every drive.
Yeah. So one time on our favorite site, Twitter that thought became twisted.
Yeah.
Right? People online took your authentic, genuine desire to give back and to see somebody who probably isn't being seen. And they said, they put a negative spin on it. And it was like, oh, if you hurt yourself, buy my hoodie. Like, you cut yourself and you do this. And I'm like, whoa, that's not what he was saying. But nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody actually cares.
On Twitter, they don't actually care, right? But to the person, I always say it's not the world, but at the time, it felt like the world.
It's on you.
Like, you feel like torches. Like, they're marching to your house to like hurt you, right? So I want to know, what was that like navigating that? Which you were probably 11 years old at the time.
Girl, boy, fuck you.
But you were a very young man.
Yeah, I was like 21, maybe.
Yeah, you're 21. You are having success. You're navigating the internet, and then all of a sudden, you got vitriol coming at you, And you don't. There's no handbook for this. This is not a thing hardly anybody in the world ever has to go through, period. I know that was terrible because I've been on the side of that, but not even as bad as you.
Yeah.
What was that process like? Because I know it changed how you move on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just that one thing. It was like a accumulation of things.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Of like different cancelings. So I want to say maybe it was like a building up. Like it was like, yeah. That's probably what happens because public opinion of me changed.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I am the same person. Like to start off, that was always genuine.
Mm-hmm.
But at first, when I started You Matter, my own personal growth, like as on social media, we weren't doing like Meech and Lowe videos yet.
Yeah.
So the eyes that are on my Twitter, completely different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it used to be like, DM me and I'll send you like a little code. And probably like 30 people would DM me.
I figured.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it couldn't be DM. It never was like, DM me and prove you have scars. It was just like, if you've been through this, just DM me and I'll give you a code.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so to go from like 200,000 followers on Twitter when you're first doing this to 1.7 million.
Yeah.
And trying to still be like, DM me for a code to kind of not even a gatekeeper, but just to be able to like actually get it to the right people.
Yep.
So that people that aren't just scrolling past that want a hoodie for whatever reason, take advantage of it and order 10 hoodies for their friends and family.
Yeah.
So that's why I went from free hoodie to like 40, 50% off. Because that's basically just me doing it for cost value.
Yep.
Like cost of production.
Mm-hmm.
And I had did it every drop, but I received positive reassurance.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a great idea. Like, tweets going viral, responding, like, this is so genuine. I love this brand. You know what I mean? And at that time, like, in social media in general, when you, if you don't check, like, yourself and, like, start to have your own idea about things, then you're going to just get kind of, like, caught in the loop of popular opinion versus unpopular opinion.
Yes.
So I'm like, this is a good idea. Let's keep doing it. But I'm 20, I'm 21, you know what I mean? So I'm not like, oh, I probably could like donate a little bit more or I probably could do this or go about it like this. Because I definitely like, even me not doing it now, it's not like I don't do it anymore and I'm like, I'm not helping anyone because I'm not doing it the way I wanted to.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, I definitely could do something else. You know what I mean? I just actually is more effective than here, take this hoodie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But I'm 20, I'm 21 and like the hoodies helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Like even right now, you like it's hot.
Right.
I'm always like covered, you know what I mean? Just because I'm not like, I've never been comfortable like showing my like skin.
Mm.
Like, because I used to cut myself and like burn my face and stuff like that. So, I've never been comfortable showing like not having a hoodie on. So, it always just helped me as like a comfort item.
Got it.
But yeah. So, going backwards, it was like in June or July or something, I had like an ID article. And I'm working with, what's the name? I'm working with All Def for like a show.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm hosting a show or something like that. So I'm working with All Def for a show. I just did an ID article. Everything's on the up and up.
Yeah.
I got a new manager, a new agent. I got a model agent.
That's how it always is.
So I did an article with ID.
Yeah.
I'm like, bet.
Yeah.
It dropped. Somebody quote tweeted. He like, I pitched this same idea to ID. They didn't respond. They took my shit and ran with it. And yada yada. And everybody like, you're not going to speak up for him? Speak up for another black creator. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck going on. Because the same thing is, it's like, I know my agent at the time pitched that herself.
Yeah.
But it's not so, like, it's May. It's mental health month.
It's the most.
Who else would we, if, like, pitching me for mental health month is not that, like, creative.
It's like, Keith Lee, man, you should do a food show.
And being like, that was my idea.
Like, oh,
no, it's right
no
up
one has
alley.
Ever thought about that. Maybe he should review it and maybe do 1 through 10.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, but people be like, nah, this, you stole from me.
So that's what happened. And he had, like, DM'd me. And so I'm like, yeah, like, what's going on? Like, I don't really know what's going on. I can't. Like, if I speak for you and if I show support for you, I'm, like, going against them. And my agent and my manager, they just tell me, I shouldn't be in the middle of this. That's what I'm trying to get through. All I'm trying to get through is I did nothing here. I just showed up for work. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm, like, I know how our end looked. Like,
yeah,
my end
sure.
with me and my team. So I know this was, like, hey, like, would you be interested in doing, like, an article with boom, 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 and we'll see who picks it up.
Yeah.
And ID ended up picking it up. You know what I mean? But I got flack for that because he was like, you in support. He posted DMs, yada, yada. And like, I'm on set the first day of set calling him, like, yo, what's up? He's like, yeah, like, I told you, like, you got 24 hours to respond, or I'm gonna post DMs. I'm like, what do you want from me out of this situation? Like, what the fuck do you want me to do? Like, I, you know what I mean? So then it went from that to I was it became Pride Month. So then I a big idea to me was just like I don't like when I go into Target and I see any form of like pandering.
Right.
I hate it. Mm-hmm. It like makes me mad. Like I forgot what I just saw in Walmart the other day, but it was something stupid with like the Pride flag on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is just like, oh yeah, we're going to throw a Pride flag on it, donate 5%, and just keep raking it in.
Cash out.
So I'm like, all right, I'll do, because we've done like a shirt before, like where we donated 100% of proceeds, but like it didn't sell well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I don't even think that like selling Pride flags would sell well. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how it would do, so I'm like, I'll just sell them at production value, which was like $15,
mm-hmm.
just so you guys have it, like, because you got You Matter Hoodie, you kind of have a way to represent what you've been through and what like community you're a part of.
Yeah,
but we do a Pride, like if we do a hoodie, it's just a hoodie, but like I've seen a lot of people with like the tapestry walls.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do a Pride flag and you guys can just have them. It's $15. I'm not making any money off of this. I don't want to make any money off this community. I just want to show my allegiance as well as like give you guys something to represent yourself.
Yep.
And again, another thing of like good intention, it probably could have been better like execution.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm 21. And I just want to help everybody.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that part is lost on everyone at that time, too, because it's like, I've been seeing you for, like, 8 years. Duh. You're probably, like, 30.
And that's what I want people, like, put into perspective. Like, can you imagine, you, the viewer, because Meech can imagine what has been his life, but can you imagine you doing what you thought was right at 21 and 1.7 million fully realized adults judging you and, like, God, what did I know at 21? Like, what I thought was right? Luckily, by the grace of God, I didn't have social media, so I could make my mistakes in the dark.
Yeah.
But you had millions of people judging you are still young now.
Yeah.
25, I think your brain doesn't stop forming until you're like 25.
Yeah, that's when you
25. Yeah. Like, most of us are not prepared to do that, and you had a lot. And when you have 1.7 million followers, that's not people who don't follow you and who are just piling on.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, like, it's really unfair.
It is.
To a person who don't, like, you can do the, I remember this has happened, like, what has happened to you is you don't realize how much your audience is scaling. Like, you can't fathom what 1.7 million people would look like if they were all together at one point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? You can't even, where could you even fit that many people where you could see them?
At all, nowhere.
So in your mind, it's just, dang, these videos are going crazy. Like, yeah, millions of views means millions of people are either pressing play or watching it over and over. But your mind can't wrap that around. So imagine that many people being pissed off at you.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, it's, I don't know, I don't use Twitter for that reason.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll get on and stuff like that, but, like, it was very hurtful. You know what I mean? Because I just know my intentions.
Yeah.
And I know these people don't know me, but I'm 21, and I just want to be liked. Like, I'm the kid that just want to be liked. You know what I mean? So, like,
you were speaking my language, Meech. You don't like me?
Yeah.
But I'm trying so hard to be liked and be your friend.
It was
and the more you tried,
the worse.
The more they hate you. Like, oh, nigga, you trying to be like, no, but I want to do right.
And it's like, the thing is, too, like, there's a certain fear that comes with that because it's like, oh, I didn't even think my intention was wrong. I think my execution was wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm mature enough as a young age to know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, okay, like, I keep explaining the same thing over, like, because the problem people were having with the Pride flag thing was you're profiting off of. And I'm like, oh, we're not profiting. Like, in the first post, it says we're not profiting.
Mm-hmm.
This is cost of production. Even shipping is already put into cost of production. So it's really just
$15. Yeah.
If anything, we're losing money on shipping, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, we're not doing this, boom, boom. And then, so I have the original, like, the journalist, like, news coming through. It's happening around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting hate for that. I'm getting hate for this. So I closed my DMs. But they, because they used to be open to the public.
Yeah.
Just
because
people would reach out to me, like, need advice and stuff like that. So I still wanted to be, like, accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I closed them. And so I want to say the next day I was on set, we had shot. I was, like, interviewing people. So we shot this dude. I was, like, trained, like, with trained kids and, like, stuff like that. And I'm leaving. I had been with him all day in like a 90-degree weather day. I'm watching him, like, we trying to do workouts on a football field, right, in 90-degree weather in California.
Yeah.
I'm in an Uber, you know, where I check Instagram. I mean, I check Twitter, and it's a tweet. And it's like, yeah, my friend DM'd Demetrius about what he was doing with the money, and this was his response. So it's the DM, and it says, like, you know, maybe you could donate to here.
Oh, and then no.
I had closed my DMs, though.
And that's part of the DM?
And it's, but I didn't say it. I never opened the DM. It just, it says you no longer have access to DM this person. But it's because I closed my DM to the public.
So they thought you blocked him.
Yeah, so they thought I blocked him. And I'm like, I didn't block the person. Why are you making this shit up? You can't block someone from DMing you unless you block them.
Man.
So then that becomes a thing. And then I think I told someone to shut the fuck up.
You did do that?
I told someone to shut the fuck up.
Got it.
They were trans.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became like my followers at the time are like really my followers. So they're just attacking this person. I'm not thinking none of this. I'm just upset. So I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, y'all being stupid.
Yeah.
And so again, like, just didn't need to do that, as well as not realizing like my influence.
Yes.
To like where this is not a one-on-one conversation. No. If you say something that upsets me, I just be like, Kev, shut the fuck up.
Yes. You did it earlier.
And that's just like us, though. But if I said shut the fuck up and all this will happen, I probably wouldn't say that. So like 5 minutes later, I had deleted all of the tweets, and I'm just like, we need to recognize that like there's a person behind these like accounts. I'm like, not just y'all, like me too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I deleted the tweet. I left that tweet, and I was like, you know, like, I'm someone from Detroit. Like, I don't do these shenanigans. Like, this internet back and forth we're doing, it doesn't, like, I think my brother was in jail at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't give a fuck about none of this shit y'all talking about. I'm just trying to help and go about my day. But that got taken as, like, did you just fucking threaten the trans person? And I'm like, what are we talking about? So then I broke down because I was dealing with the stress from, like, because the producers on the show are like, you know, your energy's not there, like, yada, yada. And that's because I'm dealing with this.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? I'm like, I might lose this fucking like big job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting attacked on Instagram and Twitter. You know what I mean? My brother's in jail. Like, you know, it was a lot on me, so I like broke down. Like, Angelo like came into my room and I was like curled in a ball. And, like,
oh, man.
The next day was the first day I went to therapy, like as an adult.
Really?
And yeah, so I'm dealing with all that. I just left. I was off Twitter for like a month or two.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I come back and they like, yeah, you dosed.
Doxed?
Doxed. They like, you doxed this person. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I didn't know what dox was. But basically, I think that means like you like leaked their personal information.
Yep.
But I didn't know none of this happened. Like, their account got banned, all this stuff. I didn't know none of this happened. And so now that's like on my shoulders from probably like me responding for 4 minutes, leaving a tweet up. You know what I mean? So that became like a whole thing. And then everything else has just been a continuation of that. And people hate that I have chains.
Like, they have chains?
Yeah, like jewelry.
What is that? It says Joy Road.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be like a, I don't know. I think it's because like I do mental health, and in their mind, the only way I ever have made money is from You Matter clothing. And like, I don't think they forget about like how big of influencers me and Angelo were at a point.
You know what? I thought mine was bad. Yours is infinitely worse.
Mine's is horrible. Like, I posted me on Eid. In my Eid outfit.
I remember that. I was like, dog, you just gonna be mad no matter what he does.
Bro, I supposed to be on Eid just happy because I fasted the whole way through.
Yeah.
No social media. I went further with my fast than like I actually necessarily needed to. I wasn't on mm-hmm. social media. I was following the whole rules of the fast from like breaking iftar at the right time, like all that. You know what I mean? I just felt so connected to myself. To God, you feel me? Like, appreciative for everything I have, like, in the sense of, like, food, water, like, my family. And so me just sharing that picture was just, like, I shouldn't have did it. It was too personal. Mm. So when I got backlash for it, it
what
hurt
was even
a lot.
The backlash? What was...
You know, whenever someone, like, a creator does something, they convert to Islam. But, like... If you look at my history, I've been supporting the Muslim community my entire like social media career because I grew up in Dearborn.
I didn't know Dearborn had a big.
Dearborn has the largest Muslim community in America.
Really?
Yeah.
In America?
Yeah.
I honestly thought it was when you're saying Ramadan. I was like, I didn't realize Detroit was like. But if you don't go to a place, you don't know.
Yeah,
like, I thought Philly had one because Philly has a lot of black people in hijabs and stuff, a lot of beards, a lot of kufis. So I was like, is Philly the number one? It was like, I remember that's when I first heard, like, actually Detroit has a big one too.
Yeah.
New York, you know what I'm saying? But did you ever get like, feel like, all right, I'm just done with this.
Yeah.
All of this.
Yeah.
Like, what made you not stop though?
People care about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like, it's definitely, like, if you look at my numbers, it's different than it was maybe 4 years ago, mm-hmm. but it's still somebody that go on my page on YouTube every Monday expecting me to, like, teach them a recipe.
Right.
And so, like, it's I enjoy doing it, and if it has to be to a smaller audience, I might welcome that even more because now it's between me and them.
Dog.
You know what I mean? And, like, I my biggest thing is community. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's the best thing we could achieve as humans.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I'm on Twitch and I really get to talk to the same person, like, I know their name. We actually have a conversation. It's like, how you doing today? Like, oh, yeah, like, I have my driver's test. I can remember that stuff because it's a smaller amount of people. Then we back to the grassroots.
When I tell you my Patreon has, like, it is a saving grace. Because I, like, me and you, right, if I offend you by mistake, mm-hmm. we have enough rapport. You'd be like, oh, that's Kev. He probably didn't mean it like that. The internet does not give you that grace, right? And sometimes they are hoping you mess up or waiting to pounce, right?
Yeah.
So having an audience that gives you that grace, like just this past week, this Saturday, I've been on tour for like a year. My brother just passed away last year.
Yeah.
I went on tour for a whole year, right? And that's probably part of how I cope with like work. This is what we did together, was like kind of honoring him. But just traveling and performing is very taxing. Finished a whole year of tour, and that week I had like a concert that I went to. Just a whole bunch of life stuff. Shooting every day, shot a commercial and all that stuff.
Yeah, you be working, though.
I do. And it was time to shoot the bonus episode on that Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm coming home from that set, and we get off at like 11 o'clock. We're on their way home. It's like 11:30, right? And then some food I ordered on Postmates was nasty, and somebody said it was good, and that was it. Like, at that point, there's nothing worse than somebody being like, no, this is going to slap. And then you get home, and you're like, and now it don't slap, and all the restaurants are closed now, and I've been waiting for this. I can deal with a lot, but you tell me he's 5-star and it ain't. Now I'm about to have a bad night. And it was so, she had, oh, go here. Far from my house, but it was in the Postmate range of where I was pissed. And I'm like, I gotta get up and be there. I gotta get up at 7 a.m. and I haven't slept.
Nothing ruins your night, boy. They're like bad food.
Oh my God, for me, I can deal with a lot, but no food. So I'm like, man, I'm really tired. I don't really have the energy to do this. I haven't been, like, I'm tired. So I tell the Patreon, like, I can't do it. And they're like, oh, bro, chill, Kevin. We good. Get your rest. And as an influencer creator for a long time, you don't
get that.
You don't get that.
Nah, nobody give a fuck about you.
Right? Yeah. It's very transactional. So I've always said, the worst case scenario, if all I ever have is this Patreon audience, I'll be cool. And I don't need to be rich. Because to be rich, but your life is like bombardment of hate and anger, and like, I'd rather be cool. Like,
yeah,
for
cool.
me, just bros, I used to work at a bank. If I can make the money I made at a bank doing this, I'll be happy. I don't have to be rich, because a lot of stuff that comes with fame and invisibility is terrible.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying, and I don't want. So I get what you're saying. Like, I'm okay with smaller, but people who care.
Yeah,
I'd rather have smaller people who care than big people who are just waiting for this misstep, want to go at me, don't want to understand me, don't care, don't give me no grace, no benefit of the doubt. That's taxing, man.
I think the most fucked up part about... I'm allowed to cuss on here?
Boy, you know who you is? You ain't got to hide the vape.
I just hold myself.
Oh, okay, be who you are.
Like, I took the hoodie off because I got hot, but like, whenever I got a hoodie off, I'm usually like...
Yeah, it meant a lot to me. That's what you said. I said, he's comfortable to take the hoodie off. We got the safe space here. We got a bear on the ones and twos.
That's why I got so many tattoos.
Yeah. You already cussed a lot, so to ask now is like... like an hour in, so can I cuss? Because if I haven't, we should go back and bleep this.
But yeah, I think that was like the hardest part. I seen like people switch up on me that I like knew in person.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like my old roommate, like, he another influencer.
Yeah.
But like he thinks he's fucking hilarious, and he tried to say like some like corny ass punchline joke, and like the end of the tweet is, I'm happy he cut, and then it's like his price is in half, talking about like the discount situation. Mm-hmm. But really, like, you're saying, I cut myself.
Yeah.
And like, that was like, it wasn't like we already weren't cool like after me moving out, but it was like, damn, like, we shared stories. Like, you know how deeply I go through things. You know what I mean? I know how deeply you go through things. Like, this isn't, I think that's when I realized, like, I'm not a human to a lot of these people. I'm an idea, I'm a topic to discuss. And then move on from. Like, my life is not a real thing. How this might affect me is not a real thing. You know what I mean? Like, if I'd be honest, like, some of my like closest friends I have to this day now are those people that like either defended me publicly or like were texting me. Like every time something happens on social media, like where people are like, I get backlash, like Lil Yachty texted me.
Really?
Like, bro, like the last time like the Ramadan shit happened, he like, I hate how much people be on you. Like, cause I got so much love for you and this shit is stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even when it was happening before, like Quinn Blackwell texted me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Angelo is the most reserved, like, sweethearted, like, don't really have any hate in his heart person. But he got on the internet when all that shit was happening the first time, like during Black Friday, and was like, y'all are fucking less than humans. Like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, in defense of me, you know what I mean? Cause I can't show it on social media. No one cares. Like, if I show that I was hurt during that time, like,
oh, it's blood in the water.
It's gonna be worse. Yeah, exactly. We got him bleeding.
They got you, baby.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
So I just got off Twitter for like 2-3 months. But like, the people in my life saw how it was affecting me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not eating, and like, you know what I mean? I'm losing weight, and like, I'm just not myself. Like, there's no smile in my eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think that's the worst part when it comes to like social media. Like, backlash is like, I even hate it when I see it and it's not me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd be like, how can y'all discuss this person's life like y'all know them?
Bruh.
To such a deep, like, part where you having real life arguments. Like, you was there with them in that room and you know them. You know what I mean? Like, and then for people who know me, it was even worse. Like, even if you've met me once, you know what I mean? If you've met me once, then you know my character.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never turned my back on somebody wanting a picture. I'm never not available for anybody, regardless who they are. You know what I mean? And so it's like seeing people who like came up to me in Detroit and like tweeting about the shit. Like, yeah, I knew he was yada yada. I'm like, bro, I'm gonna see you. Like, this, you're not a part of the crowd of people that live in Minnesota or something that I might never run into. I'm gonna run into you, bro. Like, and why are we doing this, bro?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? But it's
that Detroit
like,
rises up in you every once in a while. Like, nigga, I'm gonna see you for real.
Bro, that's the thing, though. I seen him out, and it was just like,
of course.
But it's like, it don't gotta be this because I got so much love in my heart for everybody. So, but it's like, everybody want to be on the right side.
Yeah.
So when somebody winning, I want to be with the winning team.
Yep.
And when they losing, I don't want to stand by them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's like. Every person is gonna make mistakes, but you have to look at the contents of someone's heart.
Man.
And I feel like I've been so vulnerable and like transparent about what I give a fuck about, and like why I do these things. Cause like I didn't see myself making it to the age of 25.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I can, like, I would be lying to you if I said like, oh, I don't value like material things. You know what I mean? Like I wanted a Rolex. You know what I mean? Like, I want my Cartier Buffs.
And let me tell you,
but wait,
you're
wait,
in Detroit.
Wait.
You got to have a Cartier.
I want my Buffs, but it's like, at the end of the day, I know that like none of these things will forever belong to me.
Yeah.
So like, I take what I need
and
I give the rest to the world. You know what I mean? So like, if I just need a place like to get from A to B, I'd rather Uber and like gives a car to a mother that really needed. Like, I've been trying to do some of the business where I like give away a car, but like, you gotta think, at 19, I probably gave away like $200,000 before I spent $200,000 on myself. I still haven't spent $200,000 on myself. You know what I mean? Like,
dang.
I'm giving scholarships to kids, and I got like real life family that's in my life that could probably use that money.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it's like, I know that these things don't belong to me. I just take what I need, and the rest is for everyone else.
That's an amazing philosophy that I do not share. I love that for you. But as Denzel once said, I'm leaving here with something. I'm from around the way. I'm leaving here with something. Now, I give a lot as well, but I love that. And I noticed you Ubered here, too. I was like, I thought you had the Benz or the Rolls Royce or the Phantom.
Oh, no, that's in Detroit.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the Phantom in Detroit.
And let me tell y'all right now, when you see me on the private plane, y'all can tell me about carbon footprint. You can say, I feel you. I get it. I'm flying on the G6. This is my dream. Earth is burning up anyway. I can't save it. Captain Planet couldn't do it, and he had the Planeteers. So when you see me on the Clareport, baby, you're going to be mad because I'm going there. That's my goal. But I think part of you, like the person, you got to be okay with people being like, I don't like that about you. Oh, I yeah. don't like, okay.
Yeah.
But nigga, that's, I don't know you though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, remember when the Kardashians flew? I say this all the time. During the pandemic and stuff, they were like, yeah, well, we going to a beach on our 737. People were like, that's great. You shouldn't do that. They were like, well, we are doing it. And quietly, I was like, woo, I wish I could. They're like, you can't be mad at us for COVID. Like, we all tested and stuff. But I used to really live in that. Like, I don't want people to be mad. I don't. But at the end of the day, they don't know me. And they won't give you the grace anyway. So you might as well live your life. If they're not going to give you the grace,
most definitely.
Regardless,
most definitely.
Then just be mad. At least you'll be mad for who I really am. Most definitely. You're not going to be mad for me trying to be who I think you want me to be. Because that goalpost is ever moving and changing. Like, with the right intention, you can still piss off people. I remember Lizzo got in trouble because she was complaining her Postmates order had got wrong or something. Mm-hmm. And she did what most people do. And people were like, you're platforming. You're this. She's like, okay, you're right. Like, you sometimes forget how big you've gotten to people. And people think you should automatically know exactly what to do in a position you've never been in.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not like most people ever are in it. So it's not like a rule book or a guidebook.
Yeah.
And you want to so desperately to feel normal and be normal, but you ain't.
It's a thing, too, that people don't realize how new social media is.
Yes.
Like, Instagram came out when I was in eighth grade. Eighth or seventh grade. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't know why this bothers me so much.
No, but for real, I remember, like, Instagram was only for iPhones.
iPhones only.
You know what I mean? So it's we got Facebook. Was there Facebook start? I remember YouTube came out, like, maybe 2007, 2006?
Yep.
Like, I remember, like, all that shit. So it's like, this is still new.
It's very new.
They're still running new studies for the effects of social media or how to. There's no, like, you know what I mean? Like, the how to's of like how to be a father, how to be a mother. Like,
right.
Because people have been fucking fathers and mothers this whole time.
And
you know
still
I mean?
Mess that up.
Exactly. So it's like, you expect me to know what. Because this is the thing you would post. Like, I don't forget I got a million followers because I post shit, get 2,000 likes. I'm like, oh, okay. They don't give a fuck. I post bullshit, get 50 million likes. I'm like, oh, where's y'all at? You know what I mean? So it's like, bro. But yeah, it definitely, I'm older now. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm on social media with these insecurities. Like, or with this trauma more so. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's not trauma that was given to me.
No, I get
it's
it.
It's just I have younger child syndrome. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm used to like getting the hand-me-downs. I'm used to like dancing in the corner and trying to like look at me. You know what I mean? Like I'm used to like needing everybody to like me. Mm-hmm. So
that plays so terribly for social media.
And the thing is I hadn't received any hate in my like 6 years of being on social media until the seventh year. So I'm like, ain't no way they fucking hate me. Ain't no way they hate me. So the first time I got hate, I was like, oh my God.
They hate me for real.
Because it feel good when it's a million people liking you. It feel horrible when it's a million people not liking you.
Meech, you don't even know how much you're speaking to my soul. That's where my Patreon hurt me the most.
Why can't nobody like you? You a good Christian man.
Nigga. I can give you a myriad of reasons why they don't like me.
Oh.
Part of it could be because I'm a good Christian man.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Trust me.
Oh, that got me.
There's a myriad of reasons. This nigga, I remember Ashima Franklin, she was joking. She was on Keep Your Distance one time. She was like, I just be sick of Kev. I love my wife. I love my kids. Like, even that is like, people think that's fake.
No, niggas don't like happy homes.
They don't like happy. Straight Tyler Perry, whoever said that, he said, straight Tyler Perry ain't funny to me. That nigga, that one got between the gloves. I keep my gloves up, but straight Tyler Perry's not that funny to me. It rings in my ears.
Is that what they called you?
One dude said it. So many people thought that was funny.
When you said it, I thought you were just saying like somebody would say it, Tyler Perry when he not dressed up as Madea.
No,
they're telling you straight Tyler Perry.
Me, man. Straight Tyler Perry got me. Right? So I want to, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, it got between the gloves.
It's
funny. Everybody shouldn't be funny. That should be reserved for a select few. But online, everybody's funny. But it was really helpful, actually, to be like, ah, nigga, all these people don't love you. Some people want you to fail. That's okay. Before I let you go, I want to talk about this cooking thing.
I want to keep talking to you forever.
Let's keep it going. Now, I follow you just as, like, a fan of who, like, I really like who you are.
Okay.
So I watch your stories and stuff. Uh-huh. And I remember watching. I'd be like, this nigga's wings, these are not regular wings. Like, when this nigga cooks, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to get drunk and fry some shrimp. And I'm looking at the shrimp like, hold on. This nigga really, like, what is the cooking thing? Because you're not cooking like regular people. Like,
what does that mean?
Your stuff look like you're taking the time to really cook.
Yeah.
Like, it looks legit. Where did this come from? Was it from your Little Caesars days?
Fuck you.
Because now you've turned it into a show. Like, you've made it harder. Cooking is a very hard content. It's very hard content to make.
Is it really?
Yes. Because you actually have to cook.
Oh, yeah.
So you
like
got to pre-cook, or you got to cook and wait, or you got
to
cook and shoot.
Yeah, it is hard to plan out.
It's a lot. My homegirl is a Danny Rose is a influencer who's a chef as well. Mm. And, like, being on set with her, I'm like, oh, my God, this is the worst.
Yeah, it's very, like,
the
exhausting.
Prep for a cooking, it's ridiculous. Cooking is a lot in without
general,
cameras.
Yeah.
To cook on camera and then be good and look, it's way too much.
I need two cameras at this point because I'm like, we keep having to go from in front of me to like over angle.
Yes.
Because I get enough angles for TikTok to cut it up.
Yes.
Yeah, but I love cooking.
You have to. So where is it just fun or is it like a true desire? Because the cooking show, we're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
But I still want to do it.
We still can do it.
Yeah. I'll come to Detroit just to shoot it. Yeah. Now that I'm not on tour, I can do a lot of stuff that I just wanted to do.
I used to be you like, hey, come to show it. I'm like, where the fuck is this nigga at? I'm in Zimbabwe. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm in Zimbabwe. Why? And now I look at your page, and it's just, I am on tour for all the year.
I'm trying not to do that anymore, because I lose a lot of other opportunities.
I come home, I kiss my kids on the cheek, I go back out. The hell?
Next year, I'm coming to Detroit just to shoot the cooking show. I'll come back home.
What was the question, dog?
Where did the love for cooking come from and the desire to make it to a content?
I don't know. I used to just spend a lot of time like with my parents in the kitchen when they would cook.
Mm.
So like my mom, when she would make like we used to eat probably wings every Saturday or so.
Okay.
Like she just fry wings and, you know, we eat and watch like basketball so much.
Got it.
So I'd just be in there like the way our kitchen was set up, it's like the bar area that overlooks the kitchen. So even if I'm not in there with her, it'd be me, my brothers, yada, yada. It just always looked interesting. The food was good.
Got it.
And because I'm the youngest,
mm-hmm.
there was a point in time where everybody had to cook for me.
Yeah.
So then they started teaching me how to cook. So it was like, all right, this is how you make ramen noodles.
Yeah.
And once I got tired of ramen noodles, it was like, all right, this is how you fry potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm learning how to fry potatoes, and it's like, this is how you use a George Foreman. And now I'm making my breakfast. Now I'm making chicken breasts on George Foreman. And my brother... Like, I'm the youngest, so I'm just looking up to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I got into, like, art. Like, I can draw portraits and stuff like that. Cause,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
All the talent in the world.
My brother, I'm young, so my brother's in art class. I think he's in art school.
Right.
And he came home one day, like, this is a portrait I did, because that was the assignment in class.
Got it.
I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do that shit, too. And I just start drawing, so I learned how to draw, like, and then my other brother was in photography, so then I started learning photography. That's what made me know how to use a camera to do the YouTube.
Got it.
And then my other brother, he had culinary art class in high school. So he'd come home with all new, like, different type of recipes.
So you're just a true little brother.
Yeah.
Whatever your older brothers do is the best thing in the world.
Yeah. So I'm really just, I'm like, if you ever met all of my brothers at once, you could see the different parts of, like, my personality that, like, were influenced by them.
Got it.
I still have, like, obviously my own
true
personality, but, like, it was a moment where I didn't even know none of these things were, like, I just wanted to do what my big brothers were doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he had coloring class, and then when I got to Dearborn High, because I went to a school called Robichaud, ninth grade year, and I got to Dearborn High, and one of the electives, the first elective I picked was woodshop class and culinary class.
Okay.
So then I got a culinary class. She started teaching us food science. And I said, this is pretty fucking interesting. I'm being serious. Shout out Ms. Anderson.
It's pretty interesting.
No, it was. I
like where we're going here.
I was like, that makes a lot of fucking sense when you explain it like that. That makes a lot of fucking sense. Because I'm like, oh, all these things make up the final product.
Right.
And they all have a specific role. I'm just thinking we just throwing shit in there.
Right.
So then I just always used to cook. So then I think... My first project for cooking class was I made a crepe.
Okay.
So I taught myself to make a crepe. And then from there, I just always loved it. And
got it.
I just cook for my friends. I get drunk. We have a game night, and I'd be like, I got some wings. I'll get drunk while making the wings.
Yeah.
But how you were saying, it looks like I put like a lot of prep into it. Just like food deserves that. Like if you're feeding, if you're giving something to someone for them to digest, it deserves the love and attention. So it's
for
just,
sure.
Regardless of the state of mind I'm in, I'm going to be locked in on this food until it's done.
Right. And then let the alcohol take over.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I'd be. I'd be smoking ribs, and yeah. that should take like 6-7 hours. Yeah. And I'd just be outside drunk. I'm real life drunk the whole time. But.
But you're going to clear up enough to check that temperature.
Like, all right, you guys, for instance, flip it off. Yeah. Right. Hey, we need somebody give me some more wood chips. As soon as them ribs come off and I cut them up and they sauced up.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me. Because I'm liable to say something that you didn't even realize I was drunk. You didn't even realize I've been blacked out drunk this whole time. But it's like when people take Adderall.
Yeah.
Except it's cooking.
Got it.
I just focus on the one food thing and then I lock in.
So I want to say, and let me know if I'm close or off. I follow you on TikTok and I love the content you're making now is just very haphazard. Pick the camera up, say a funny thing, cut it off. Like, you seem to be in a cool place.
I am.
Where you're with your content, with your life. Like, do you feel like you're settling into, like, I got a better handle on this now? Because you seem cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
And you're still funny, even in this version of yourself.
Yeah,
like, it's like, oh, I like this version too. You know what I'm saying? It's like an album, an artist make a different album. You're like, well, I like this one too. Like, I like this place you're in now. It seems like you settled into yourself some.
Yeah, I think it just come with growing up though. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't think that before. Like, when I'm 20, I'm 21. I think I know every fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I have been doing social media so long that I also thought I knew everything about the identity I wanted for myself on social media.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it was like, I never was being fake. Like, I never was not being myself. But I do think, even when we're doing skits, it was like, oh, the Bible shit works. Yeah. Let's keep doing the Bible shit. You know what I mean?
Very funny way of putting it, the Bible.
So I'm like, all right, cool. So, like, now it's like, I think I took a break from social media. I think people wrote me off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now it's like, I'm still in this corner, still funny as fuck, still as talented as I know I am, but everybody ain't just waiting for me to fuck up, so I'm just like, I can do whatever I want.
Just leave me over here, bro.
Y'all leave me over here. I got the people that give a fuck about me. We gonna have a great time. So that's what's happening, dog. Like, I just cook in my house with the homies. Like, everybody come on the show. Like, somebody I know in Detroit quote tweeted one of my tweets where I had just did a cooking show. And he's like, I love how the cooking show, whenever you had guests, is just your guests bothering you while you cook.
Yeah, I'm
like,
exactly.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Because I've only had like two guests come on the show. And like, the reason for the guests usually is like, show me a recipe that you love and you make it for me. And I'll show you a recipe I love and I'll make it for you. And we trade our recipes and now you have a recipe of mine.
But that was in the
picture
deck.
These niggas can't cook.
If you brought me, I don't know what. I'll show you what I like to order on Postmates.
You don't cook?
What?
Oh, yeah, you a good Christian man.
No, not even that. I just don't want to. There's so much food that people will bring to you.
Yeah, I get that.
It's hot in the kitchen. All I cook right now is...
Put a fan on.
Nah, man, no. I've been eating roasted chicken, and I'm able to cook. I don't find the joy. All you said, I'm going to make something, you don't digest it. I'll give you money.
Acts of service is my one of my love
languages.
I see.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
But cooking's not a love or joy for me. Eating is. but not cooking.
No, the best feeling is when you finish cooking, the house being loud as fuck, and you finally start in place, and everybody just...
Yeah.
I just be standing there with my bottle of wine, like... Go there. You need anything? Nah, it's all good, brother. You gave me everything I need. But I know I did. My mom's like, I know that shit good to the motherfucker. Because I done tried it before I gave it to you. And I know you over there fucked up. And then after they done, they throw their plates away. And they just sit down and just, whoo.
That's such a specific moment. But I know exactly what
part.
You're talking about.
It's my favorite part.
People who cook love that.
I just be in the kitchen watching like.
People who love to cook, they don't even eat to satisfy themselves. They just eat to taste to make sure it's good. And they want you to enjoy it. And they could be like, I did it again.
Yeah. No, I
did it again.
I had just something new with the wings last Sunday. And a homie came over. A few of them came over. But he bit it. He said, after he's done, I'm cleaning up. He like, how long you marinate that? I said, huh? He said, how long you marinate that? I was like, probably like an hour. I was like, because I was at the gym and I came back, forgot the marinade. So I just, he's like, I can't believe you got me over here fucked up over a 1 hour marinade, dog. I'm like, yeah, it was just some soy sauce, some apple juice, and apple cider vinegar. The hell you want from me? That's a good feeling, bro.
Oh, listen, man. This was great, Meech. This was the quickest hour 17 ever.
It's an hour 17?
Oh, hour 17. That's just from when Amir pressed record. That don't count when we was chopping it up before. Let the people who are new to you, a lot of people in the Patreon already know who you are, but people who are new to you, let them know where to find you, where we going.
There's 400 people in here. Jesus.
Chilling. Hey, somebody. Ain't nobody doing no work at work. Y'all is out here hanging out. This is what I make the content for. For you to be like, all right, man, I'm at work, but I'm not working.
I'm at work, but I'm not working.
That's what we're here for.
See, what you want me to do?
Tell them where to find you at. Or where to find what you got popping, what's coming next. If they want to support you, how they do it.
Damn, I'm bad at this.
Just tell them at Demetrius. Is Demetrius Harmon?
No, okay, I'm joking. my name is Demetrius Harmon, and I speak publicly at colleges. If you would like to book me, the email is booking@demetriusharmon.com. I talk about a plethora of things, mental health, entrepreneurship, marketing, opportunity costs, all those things. Anything you want me for, I can talk about. I have a cooking show on YouTube, youtube.com/Demetrius Harmon. New episode dropped Monday.
There we go.
Episodes every Monday. We call them Meech Mondays, where I'm from. I'm on TikTok. If you want to see that, hey, I be on there talking some bullshit. Not going to lie to you. First thing come to my mind, put that camera down, I talk. Anything else I'd be doing? Oh, youmatter.com. We doing it. Every sale, a percentage of every sale in September will be donated to NAMI for Suicide Prevention Month. And, yeah.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Please show some support to the young brother. He's doing his thing. He's been through a lot, and he's found himself. I'm very proud of him. Demetrius Harmon, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next time.
Wait, don't cut me.
What?
I'd like to give a shout-out to all my people back home. My mom loves you, Kev.
Does she?
Yeah, my mom fucking loves you. When you came to Detroit, I ended up... I didn't get choked up just now.
No, it's okay.
It was just mucus. You know how niggas be... When I came, you get it. my mom really focused your content, man. I wanted to give a shout-out to Jennifer Harmon. On
amazing.
The goddamn...
Free tickets for her when I pull up in Detroit. Next time. I mean it.
Hey, you good Christian. You got out of your word, man.
Good Christian, man.
Hey, you got to get some hot Cheetos in that lobby, dog. I'm looking through. I just see regular Cheetos, fucking cheddar ruffles, and one bag of spicy Doritos.
We are old, man. We don't be eating hot Cheetos. People got heartburn at this age. It's just my wife. I don't know if anybody else has heartburn. All right, Patreon, we love y'all. Thank you for the support. You allow us to do things like that. You don't have to go back to work, but this video is over. So we love you. See you next time. Peace.